Welcome to INA Insights, where prominent leaders and influencers shaping the industrial and industrial technology sector discuss topics that are critical for executives, boards, and investors. INA Insights is brought to you by INA.ai, a firm focused on working with industrial companies to make them unrivaled segment of one leaders. To learn more about INA.ai, please visit our website at www.ina.ai.
Hello and welcome to another episode of INA Insights podcast. Today, our guest is Antti Karjala-Nen, who is the co-founder of Semaphore. Semaphore is redefining knowledge work by enabling enterprises to build intelligent agents that enhance decision-making and productivity. The company has raised around $55 million in funding to date. Before Semaphore, Antti was the founder and CEO of Robocorp, which later merged with Semaphore. He has a strong background in open source innovation and now focuses on advancing automation as code, AI actions, and generative AI at Semaphore. Antti, a very warm welcome to our podcast, and we are very excited to have you here today with us and are looking forward to talking about your journey as a three-time founder.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Perfect. So let's start with talking about Semaphore. Can you tell us a little bit about what the company does and what problem is it trying to solve in the AI space?
From the beginning, we have been focused on AI agents. Now, this company started earlier this year, and you know what we are basically doing here is leveraging all the fundamental new capabilities that generative AI has brought to us to enable new types of enterprise business process automations. So essentially building a platform where companies can build, run, manage enterprise AI agents and also empower business users to author and control the agents.
Got it. And how do these AI agents help the different enterprises? Could you give us some examples?
So agents are fairly flexible and they have incredibly wide ranges of use cases. So initial use cases are around things like customer support, internal operations, driving efficiency. So basically taking workloads that people have been doing manually, routine work, and turning that over to AI. It can be things that require you to move between multiple applications, like in customer support and service work, where you have a customer on the call and you might have, you know, 2, 3, 4 different systems where you need to pull in information and then modify information in. So the agents can help you either pull in the information and then also take actions on that information. And so that's really the early set of use cases, kind of taking where we started with robotic process automation, RPA, and various other automation tools, and then enabling AI to broaden the scope of that. And then next stages of that would be around compliance areas. So for instance, in finance, we have a lot of workflows that are fairly complex knowledge work tasks that we can delegate over to AI in the compliance space. And then I think that ultimately, we're going to go into inventing new streams of revenue enabled by AI agents. So going from saving to, you know, protecting cost and reputation to growing revenue.
And are there any particular industries where you're seeing higher adoption versus some of the others for these AI agents?
AI agents are extremely horizontal technology. So ranging pretty much from industry to industry, we are focused on functions like, you know, the CFO's office, HR, IT teams, support teams, etc. So it's basically functional instead of industry focused. But now in terms of adoption, there's incredible demand from banking, financial, insurance. But again, those are so highly regulated that the pace of movement is slightly slower than with, for instance, industrial manufacturing, oil and gas. Those retail, those tend to move faster. So we see, you know, interest across the board in terms of industries, but some certain industries are moving just faster to adopt first use cases than others due to regulations.
Interesting that you mentioned in industrial space, Anti, because that's one of the industries that Aina focuses on. And it's great to hear that the adoption there is faster, because typically the common knowledge is that industrials or the manufacturing space is slower compared to some of the other industries in terms of new technology adoption. What trends are you seeing in that industry with respect to adoption? I mean, you mentioned a bunch of functions where the AI agents are applicable, but where is it that you're seeing most opportunity and adoption?
Yeah, so we have been tackling initially a lot of use cases that require processing complex unstructured documents and typically reconciling that data against backend systems. So we would see, you know, customer order processing and accounts payable, accounts receivable, these kind of flows that might require email transactions between customers or might require PDF documents. Like we've seen use cases where we have 100-page PDFs that need to be reconciled against accounts receivable systems, for instance. And we can take those PDF documents that used to take a human person multiple days sometimes to reconcile, go through line by line to match against an ERP system to see if line items match, and take that down to a matter of minutes to actually automatically reconcile with an agent. And the agent basically takes in the documents and says that, okay, I found four lines that have discrepancies. Can you help me reconcile them? That's a generic level description, I know. But when we talk about industrial companies, for instance, I think a lot of that customer interface work, whether that's getting paid or paying invoices to vendors and that sort of thing, there's a lot of opportunities that internal teams are just by the habit now doing manually. And it's something that you can, if your business grows, you have to grow your internal teams by hiring more people. Now we have a new technology to agents that we can actually delegate some of that work, and we can grow smarter by not having to add headcount.
Interesting. And as Semifor is doing this, it has an open source approach, right? So how is that contributing to, let's say, democratization of AI and some of the use cases or applications that you are building?
Yeah, so open source has been fundamentally important to me personally. As a founder, I built my previous company around open source, and Semafor also. All of our founders have that deep background in open source technologies through companies like Cloudera and Docker, and so open source in AI currently, it's one of the cornerstones. I think the space is moving so fast, and the speed of innovation is truly tremendous, and building on an open source foundation allows us to tap into that, you know, breathtaking speed of innovation in AI technologies. And I think there's certainly interesting things happening on multiple levels. Like, let's start from the foundational model level. Meta has released just the latest set of AI models, Llama 3.1, as an open source license. That really, you know, firstly puts a lot of pressure on the closed models, you know, in terms of competition, but that allows companies like us to take those open source models and fine tune and adapt them to use cases like ours and make them that much more efficient. So it's really enabling a lot of innovation. Then on the developer framework side, we are leveraging a lot of the top open source projects in AI frameworks to enable the speed of development that we have. And then on top of that, we are building our own frameworks as open source. So it's really a multi-layered approach where we leverage innovation from the foundation model upwards. And that's ultimately what we need to do as an industry to make sure that this innovation gets to the hands of customers, you know, faster and faster.
Got it. And are you seeing a greater and greater trend towards open source across different players in this, like, while across the entire value chain of the AI industry?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of the innovation is being driven by open source technologies. Now, as a business end user, like, do you really care that it's powered by a stack of open source software? Maybe or maybe not. I think fundamentally what it brings you is this sort of a peace of mind not to be tied into, let's say, a model vendor. You have the freedom and flexibility to change model vendors. That's when we have an open ecosystem powering the technology, you're not tied to, let's say, OpenAI on the models or Azure or Google. You have a choice of options there.
Right. And I suppose that this open source nature is, of course, leading to more collaboration within the different players. How is it impacting the different partnerships that could be formed within the AI industry?
Yeah, well, I mean, the space is still moving very rapidly, and it's on companies like us to make sense of all that rapid development. So partnerships are formed, you know, dissolved, new partnerships created. So it's all in very rapid flux. But at the end of the day, we really don't want to expose that to the end customer. What we want to make sure is that our customers who are line of business experts, they have a, you know, great experience to describe the work that they want to have the agents do for them and get that work translated into actual working functioning agents. And, you know, beneath the surface, there's all this, like, you know, crazy new models coming out and new capabilities being unlocked by the month and by the day.
Right. That's very true. We hear about them every day. Anthi, I would now like to focus on your personal journey. Could you tell us a bit more about your background and your life before Semaphore?
Yeah, good question. Very interesting one to switch to. Like my journey started as a software engineer, like many tech entrepreneurs. I think, you know, I sort of wandered into entrepreneurship. To be honest, I never was set out to as a passion thing to do that, but it sort of was easy to gravitate towards. Like, I think is one of these last adventures that you can take in the modern world to start something new and build something from nothing, essentially. So it was sort of just a form for me to gravitate and work on things that I'm passionate about. So ultimately that led into, you know, finding out how startups work and how venture capital works and you know, just a passion to build new things from nothing, basically.
And what inspired you about the idea for RoboCorp, which is now Semaphore, of course?
Yeah, so my background was in Python and open source projects around Python. And there was this explosion in robotic process automation, say, around 2006. A lot of the leading companies got really started, or they had been started earlier, but they really took into a lot of growth around that time. And I happened to bump into RPA as a category around that time. And I knew that there's some cool open source technology that we could apply to that problem and solve it in a more elegant, better way. And it felt like I had the combination of understanding and actually finding out about RPA and then having the knowledge of these technologies and these communities in open source that I could bring together kind of naturally. And I remember the day very clearly that I thought that, well, if I'm not going to build this, nobody might build it. So I guess I had to just do it. And so I started kind of gravitating towards that problem area and wanted to build a project around it, which eventually became a company.
Anthi, you've been a founder 3 times now. What have been some of the challenges that you've faced during this journey?
First time founding a company is sort of eye-opening in a way. And it's really exciting. But that company was just a sort of a boring old, you know, consulting services company. But it was still like it's fun to build something from nothing, start growing it, hiring people, selling your offerings, which was service at that time, and getting new customers, hiring more people, getting new customers, hiring more people, and sort of growing that and understanding the dynamics of it all. You know, that business got acquired after, I think it was 3 years. You know, there was a conscious decision of whether we should hire management, sort of middle management, to scale it out, or then sell it off. And we decided, well, I guess we've seen this movie already, so there's nothing too exciting to build beyond that from a consulting company. And then RoboCorp became a like proper project and a company and VC funded. So that was altogether a different journey, of course. it's very different to build a product and take it to market and figure out enterprise sales and marketing and customer success and growth and scale rather than, you know, building a services company. So Robocorp really has been, you know, the company that where I learned a lot of the stuff that I know today. And now, you know, starting Semaphore, it's really great to work with co-founders who have all been through launching companies, building new products, building go-to-market organizations. We have extremely talented team behind the company, and it's sort of a, you know, getting to do this with the knowledge that you have from your previous experience and mistakes as well, and getting it to do a sort of proper is a great feeling. Although, like, I think we did a lot of things intuitively right at Robocorp, but there's always that learning curve that you need to go through. And now being able to apply that learning again is a great feeling, and doing it with a team that's extremely talented, I get to learn from them as well. So I think it's, you know, like I said, one of these last adventures that you can have in the modern world, I think.
Yeah, excellent. And Antti, any advice for budding entrepreneurs from your experiences and learnings?
Yeah, so one of my hobbies is, you know, coaching and helping other entrepreneurs, whether I'm an angel investor or not. I typically try to give sober, good advice to people. And you know, somebody might be thinking about, hey, I have this idea. I've been thinking about starting a company for a few years. Like, should I do it? How could I do it? I mean, it's never easy to take the jump, I guess, to launch something, and you need to tolerate a lot of risk to do that. But I've done it a few times. I've never regretted it. and you know, I think whatever happens in that journey, you'll learn so much compared to, you know, the previous thing you were doing, that it's typically, to me, it has been always worth it. And I think that applies to a lot of people. And then during the journey, you know, I know a lot of entrepreneurs who've, you know, grown their companies to, you know, billions in value and, you know, hundreds of millions in revenue. And it's fun to meet with these people when you have lunch with them and they're like, oh my God, again, like, I have this headache, a problem. Like, you realize that it's in different times during a company's journey, you'll always have a set of problems and challenges. It just shifts the area where you need to focus on where the challenges are. But it's fun to see, like, a CEO of a multi-billion dollar company having sort of the same type of struggles than somebody who was just launching their company. It's just a never-ending thing. But as an entrepreneur, you kind of, you know, want to gravitate towards those kind of situations. I think it would be really boring at some point if you don't have a problem to solve in your hands always.
So, Antti, just last question to close this. What's next for Semaphore, especially if you could put some of this in context of all of the buzz that we are hearing around generative AI?
Yeah. So I think this year will be the formative year for AI agents. So we kind of saw the generative AI explosion last year, started from the ChatGPT moment and people figuring out RAG and these knowledge assistants and co-pilots. And now people have been exposed enough to the technology that we truly understand how we can put it to use in many very practical and big problems. And AI agents is one conduit to that. So I think this year will be the year of agents. And I'm looking forward to being able to soon enough talk publicly about some of our first enterprise customers going into production with our technology and the use cases and the value that they're seeing. So that's really something that I'm looking forward to. And obviously being able to kind of launch products publicly. And there's a bunch of companies racing towards that, you know, public launch and around agents. I think this space will be incredibly big. It will be one of these more, you know, meaningful big shifts in enterprise technology and, well, technology more broadly, but I'm focused on enterprise productivity. So to us, this will be a major, huge new unlock for a lot of value to be created down the road.
That's very exciting, Antti, and good luck for the public launch. All right. Thank you so much for your time today. Antti, really appreciate this, and it was a great conversation. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Aina Insights. Please visit aina.ai for more podcasts, publications, and events on developments shaping the industrial and industrial technology sector.